This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Tuesday, oh my gosh, there have been so many terrific things that have happened in the last 24 hours. I am unable to remove the smile from my face, and I really genuinely mean this. Gigantic things are happening. Important things are happening that should make you feel good. And we're going to tackle the two biggest ones here in just a moment. Two biggest ones being some COVID accountability, some Democrat fraud network, the beginnings of that going down. Those are wonderful things that are happening. The communists continue to try to move the revolution forward in the wake of that attempted shooting at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. That's ugly. We'll talk about foreigners changing the demographic. Democrats got another police officer killed. There's some tough economic/crude oil news. We'll get to emails. So much more coming up tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. Quick side note. I know we just had Daniel Turner on, I think, last week. The UAE, United Arab Emirates, it came out today and it announced that they're leaving OPEC. The guys I know in the oil industry think this is just the most seismic thing in the world. Most people are vaguely familiar with OPEC and what this means. In the final hour, I'm just going to have Daniel Turner pop in real quick and tell us, important, not important, what's it mean? So if you're confused about that OPEC thing, why it matters, we'll talk to Daniel Turner about it. But that's a long ways away. Oh my gosh, it's like it's my Super Bowl. Why? Well, let's rewind and tell a little tale. It's a tale that you lived through. A tale you remember, probably not your fondest memory, but believe me, this story, at least as it pertains to today, has a fairly happy ending. We, here in the United States of America, we started to get videos and articles about a virus that was bouncing around China. We were seeing, you know, you're looking at internet videos and a lot of this stuff turned out to be fake or old, but it didn't matter. Throughout history, let's pause on this for that situation. Let's just rewind for all of human history. Viruses scare people. Sickness, I should say, scares people in a unique way. Almost more so than an invading army or a roaring lion or something like that, because you can't see it. You can't see it. You don't feel like you can dodge it. Do I have it now? Sickness like that, the plague, leprosy, whatever it may be, AIDS before we understood how it was spread, whatever it may be, it's always been one of those things that strikes a unique fear in mankind. You can't see it. You don't feel like you can touch it. Am I already sick? Are we all going to die? And we started seeing videos out of China. People were dying. And I don't know if you remember, I do. We were hearing the Chinese were loading bodies by the dozen into blast furnaces, trying to burn the piles of dead. We saw they were welding people into their homes. Uh-oh, that's not good. Hope they're okay. And then, as it happens, China closed down domestic air travel. They did, however, leave open international air travel, in particular to the United States of America. And surprise, surprise, you woke up one day after days of watching grainy internet video of dead Chinamen plopping over in the streets, and you saw, we have our first case in America. And that ballooned into the second case, the third case. What are we dealing with here? How deadly is it? Am I going to get it? Is everyone I know going to die? Okay.
That, of course, led to all kinds of other actions, which we can kind of get to. But while these things were happening, there was something else happening that you didn't know about at the time and that I didn't know about at the time. Unless you're a super, super political nerd, I would venture to guess you did not know about the Wuhan Institute of Virology before COVID, did you? Of course you didn't. Look, if you did, I applaud you. You are way more politically informed than I am. I had never heard of this place in my life. But it turns out in Wuhan, China, there's a big lab. All kinds of lab nerds in there. And what are they doing inside of this? Obviously, they're studying viruses. How do they spread? How do we stop them? And I bet you didn't know at the time, not only not know about this Wuhan lab, but I bet you didn't know that some of your money was going there. That United States of America, taxpayer money, after the government stole it from your wallet, was flowing into this lab. And I guarantee you also didn't know that they were doing something called gain of function research. What in the world does that mean? What a nerdy term. Speak English! So here's what it means. Oh, here's a virus. You know what? Some bad guy, he might figure out a way to make this virus worse and use it as a biological weapon one day. So what we're going to do, we're going to make it worse. And after we make it worse, then we'll figure out the treatment for it. That way, if some bad guy does it in the future, we will be ready because we had already done what the bad guy did. That is gain of function research in the simplest form I can possibly put. And your money was paying for it. And there was this lab in Wuhan, and they were doing it with your money. And eventually, that little virus, somehow, some way, we may never know, it got out. Did it get out on purpose? I don't know. I can't tell you that. I'm not going to say that. Was it an accident? Somebody took their mask off or something. I don't know. I've seen the movie Outbreak. That's the extent of my knowledge here. But it did get out. Now, pause. We have a coronavirus. We have COVID over in China. COVID finally gets to America. There's a lot of panic. There's a lot of planning. How many millions will die? Behind the scenes, a man by the name of Anthony Fauci and others who worked with him, others by the name of David Morins. You've probably never heard of David Morins. David Morins was Fauci's right-hand man. They were having some pretty stressful talks, according to the allegations. Why so stressed? Well, you see, it didn't take these guys long to figure out, wait a minute, this virus, it came from Wuhan? Wuhan with a W, right? You mean the one in China? You mean the one where we've been paying for gain-of-function research? Hey, guys, we didn't create this virus, right? Well, they very quickly figured out they probably have a big problem on their hands because we, the United States of American taxpayers, we did pay to create coronavirus, and they knew it, and they knew it very early. Now, let's talk about the propaganda. Right about the time these powerful gentlemen in the medical industry were figuring out that they had created the virus that was now spreading through the United States of America, they had to find a way to fade the heat, as the kids say. So what do you do? What do you do? Well, you better come up with someone to blame it on. And they began running articles. I know you remember the articles. I know you remember the news stories, the social media posts talking to you about wet markets. Wet markets? What in the world is a wet market? I never versus a dry one. And then you discovered that China has these markets, kind of gross looking, very foreign to us, all kinds of exotic things like, hey, mom, can we have bat for dinner? Sure, honey, run down to the market and pick one up. and they concocted a story that coronavirus
from the lab? What?
No. Coronavirus came from bats. Probably, you know what? Not just bats. People eat bats in those wet markets. That's where it is. That it was definitely, it was the bat soup. It wasn't the lab. It was the bat soup. This tale is not done, though. That was the first lie. We'll get to the next lie, which may even be the bigger lie, probably is, in a moment. Here's another lie. You don't have to worry about Mother's Day. That's crazy. That's insane. Everybody knows you better take care of Mom on Mother's Day. And if you're married, yes, she counts. So, well, I guess if she's mothered your children, she counts. Berna has a plan for you. Why don't you keep Mom safe this Mother's Day? Why don't you bring Mom a beautiful bouquet of flowers and a Berna compact launcher to go with it? Nothing says I love you, Mom, like handing Mom something that will stop a bad man from assaulting her when he kicks in her door in the middle of the night. Berna is legal in all 50 states. If Mom says, but sweetie, I don't like guns, you can say, Mom, it's not a gun. It shoots pepper balls or tear gas balls. Even if you shoot yourself, Mom, it'll hurt, but you'll live. Go get Mom the gift of safety. And right now, they're offering $100 off the Berna LE Gen 2. Go to BYRNA, Berna.com. This is only while supplies last, by the way. Berna.com. We'll be back.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a really, really great Tuesday. I'm so happy where this little tale we're telling is leading. In case you're just now joining us, we're looking back at COVID and the initial lies that were told. Remember, you can email the show your love, your hate, your death threats, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. So our medical people, the Fauci types, the David Morans types, they knew very early on that COVID came from the Wuhan virology lab. They knew that made them look bad, so they made up a lie and fed it to the communists in the media who told you it came from a bowl of bat soup. Now, not only were they lying, they were, if you actually look at the indictment here of David Morans, which happened today, Fauci's assistant. They knew they were lying, and they were taking as many steps as they possibly could to cover up the lies. So what we're looking at here, what we were always looking at, unbeknownst to us, was a cover-up. They took your money, and they used it to create a virus that got over here, and they got a little bit worried at how that looked. But you know what? Uncomfortable as the situation may be, there's an opportunity here. You see, Anthony Fauci, David Morans, and these types, they're also deeply involved in various ways in the pharmaceutical world. Pharmaceutical companies, you know what they do. I'm not going to insult your intelligence. They're money machines. Everyone wants to live longer and healthier, and people take a variety of medications to help them do so. Pharmaceutical companies have been working for, this is not a recent thing, by the way, 20 years on, I'll just call it the shot. It's way deeper than that, way beyond me. mRNA, all the other stuff, gene therapy, whatever you want to call it. They had been working on something. They had been working on it and working on it and working on it and working on it. This has been years and years and years and years and years in the making. And you see, once we decided to lock down the country from a virus we created, this brought the opportunity to the front to not just sell that shot, to test that shot. Part of the reason that shot had never come to the market, part of the reason it had never been available to you was it wasn't passing safety tests. They test these things on animals and various ways they put these things through the tests. And this thing wasn't coming out smelling like a rose. And the way it usually works is
if they think there's even a chance that something might go wrong, these companies don't want to market a virus or a medication like this or a vaccine like this, because then what happens? What happens is mass lawsuits, and no matter how big you are, mass lawsuits can sink you in the end. And you get enough $10 billion judgments, it's over, pal. So you kind of have to get it to where it's safe. Oh, but not now, you see. Now, because of the fear, because of the lockdowns, because of the lies, now we have ourselves an opportunity. And that opportunity is, hey, why don't we go to the House of Representatives, the Senate, and Donald Trump, and we tell them, hey, that virus you're worried about? Hey, 50 million people might die. I know you don't want that. These lockdowns, really, really bad stuff. You don't want that to continue, right? It's hard to run a country like this. I have great news. We've been working on something really special. And I'll tell you what, it's almost there. It's just, look, I call it a month or two. We're 99% of the way there. I think we have the cure for what ails you. What you're worried about, I can fix. But here's the thing. I kind of need a law. You see, these things require so many trials. There's so much red tape. You want me to check this and test that, and even that look, that test alone's gonna take another 6 months. Do you have 6 months, Mr. President? If you would just pass this law, get us out of all this liability if something goes wrong, and of course it won't, but if you get us out of all this liability for if something goes wrong, we will cure what ails you. And they came up with something. Everybody took hook, line, and sinker. Well, maybe not you, but certainly everyone in power, called Operation Warp Speed. One of the most deeply evil pieces of legislation ever done. Of course, it greased the skids for a very, very poisonous shot to be brought to market. And here's the thing about that little part of the tale. The guys who were pushing it, the Faucis, the David Morans, those types, yeah, they knew it wasn't safe. I want you, because we're about to go to commercial break, we'll come back and we'll wrap this up because there's other good news, but I want you for the next couple minutes, maybe even turn the radio off, I don't know. I want you to dwell on how evil you have to be to cover up your lies and then choose to lie some more to push something into the arms of people and you know it's bad for them. When Anthony Fauci was there during the Super Bowl telling you to get your booster shot, he knew it was going to hurt you. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
Remember when the system was telling you that you had to take that poison, it'll protect you, it'll protect mom, it'll stop the spread. Oh, I guess not, it'll slow the spread. Ah, you won't get sick. Ah, maybe you'll get sick, but not as sick. Please remember that the geniuses behind all that, they knew it was all a lie. And today, I am not here to give you the news that all the people responsible for all that damage and all those lies, they're all going down. That is not how life actually works. An example I've used before, at the end of World War II, when the world started to figure out the horrors done by the Japanese and by Nazi Germany, torture, abuse, mass death, the world was mortified. The world demanded some heads on spikes. There better be war crimes trials, Nuremberg trials. And we got some. And some people went down.
As comfortable as this may be for you and me to accept, there are a lot of men who lived quiet, peaceful lives in Germany into their old age who had done unspeakable things during World War II. And let me take it a step further, the vast majority of them got off scot-free. Japan, too. It was no different in Japan. Yeah, oh yeah, we took down this general and this general, and this guy was executed for, oh yeah, no question about it. A fraction of the people, a tiny fraction of the people who did evil actually burned. The evils that were done to you and your country and your freedoms and your pocketbook, maybe your health under COVID, you will never have true justice on this earth for those evils done to you. I would be lying if I told you otherwise. I know you want it, and you do deserve it. You do. I deserve it. It will never happen because there is so much widespread guilt throughout the system that, and look, we face the same thing they faced in Germany. Are we going to arrest every Nazi? You can't do that. Are we going to arrest every Japanese soldier? That's too many. We can't. Are we going to arrest and indict every evil scumbag who lied and gutted us during COVID? We can't. There are too many of them. I know you've lost a third of the purchasing power of your dollar because of this entire thing. I know. Great evils were done to you. I know. But today, I want you to feel good about something. Headline, Anthony Fauci advisor indicted by the DOJ on charges of concealing COVID records. And by the way, this is from Disclosed TV. I don't do this often because I always find it boring, but I'm actually going to read a couple paragraphs of this to you because I feel like you deserve it, and frankly, so do I. So here it is. The U.S. Department of Justice indicted David Morins, 78, he's old, longtime senior advisor to Dr. Anthony Fauci for allegedly concealing records amid federal probes into COVID-19 origins. Morins faces serious felony charges, including conspiracy against the United States, destruction, alteration, or falsification of records in federal investigations, concealment, removal, or mutilation of records, and aiding and abetting. The indictment lists two unnamed co-conspirators who helped evade FOIA, that's Freedom of Information Act, and Federal Records Act requirements. From 2006 to 2022, Morins used a private Gmail account for official government business and actively sought ways to dodge records requests. Quote, in April 2021, he said, there is no worry about the FOIAs. I can either send stuff to Tony, that would be Anthony Fauci, on his private email or on his private Gmail, or hand it to him at work or at his house. He is too smart to let colleagues send him stuff that could cause trouble. You can go on and read it. I won't. But he even goes on to say he would always communicate on Gmail because my NIH email is FOIA'd constantly and I delete anything I don't want to see in the New York Times. The, quote, medical minds behind the greatest attack on your dollar and your civil liberties and your health, the medical minds behind that are dirty liars. They lied about every single part of it. And then, as always happens to liars, it's probably happened to you when you've lied. It certainly has happened to me when I've lied. Inevitably, you end up having to tell other lies to cover up for the first lie, and then you need even more lies to cover up for the latest lie. But then, of course, you need more lies and more lies and more lies, and you find yourself playing whack-a-mole with all the lies you have told, And these evil men did an unbelievable amount of damage to this country. And is it everything? Of course not. I know you want to see Dr. Fauci in handcuffs. And I know that this guy and that I understand it. It's not everything. But if David Morin's at 78 years old, if he is tried and convicted, and if that man has to spend the last 10, 15 years he has on this planet rotting in federal prison for what he did to you and your country, it's something. It's something, man. We always have losses. If you're a politically involved person, we talked about this, there's always something to feel bad about. We'll even get to that. We have some terrible economic news and poll numbers and things. We'll get to that later on. It's not hard to find something to feel crappy about. And to be honest, some days it's impossible politically to feel good about something. And the reason for that is our system is so evil and corrupt. There are many days where good things do not happen. I'm sorry, they just don't. Not that there aren't good things in your life, but there are many days politically where there's nothing good to talk about. You want to talk about something good? We're going to have to talk about those little old world pepperonis where they have the little grease thing in them and the edge of them gets really crispy. You got no choice. And then there are days where you get a win. It's a win. And I want you to feel good about it. It's somebody going down. And maybe I can add an extra slice of melty American cheese on top of that cheeseburger I just handed you. I was told that David Morin's has expressed regret for what he did. Apparently, he got way deep into the bottle. I mean, this is a man who probably had a crisis of conscience, which at least he has one. I was told there's a chance David Morin's is the guy who's going to squeal on everybody, and that's why they're leaning on him. I'm not promising you that. I am not promising you that. But David Morin's, he might cop a plea. Hey, I don't want to die in prison, but I know 10 guys who probably should. It's not nothing. It's something. Put a smile on your face. You deserve it. I am grateful that the whole COVID era, it's why I discovered chalk. I've told you this before. I became so jaded with the medical community, courtesy of people like David Morin's, that I started getting obsessed with trying to find natural solutions to everything and trying to avoid the doctor's office. Not just trying to find a better one. I try to make it so I don't ever have to go. I take a male vitality stack from chalk because I feel like it helps me stay away from the doctor's office. It's more than just a testosterone boost. My energy just feels so good. My blood work, it's outstanding. Way better than it has any right to be. I'll tell you that much, given the amount of cheesesteaks I eat in a given year. I take a male vitality stack, natural herbal supplements from chalk every single day. You should do the same. If you're a dude, if you're a lady, take the female vitality stack. C-H-O-Q. Chuck.com, promo code Jesse gets you a big discount on subscriptions. Chuck.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
Feeling a little stalky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly DC.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Tuesday. Remember, you can email the show jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Someone is burning for COVID. And it's a good day. There's more, but that's not the only good news. I'm going to get to the fraud bus. I'm going to get to a member of Congress continues to impress me. We'll make fun of Ilhan Omar. We'll touch on some evil communist things and do emails. But I should probably take this opportunity to burst your bubble on something else that happened today. And it gives me no pleasure to do so. But as I've said 1,000 times, it's not your mommy's show. It's your daddy's show. Not here to tell you just things that make you feel good. Give it to you right between the eyes. I know that James Comey got indicted today. Former FBI Director James Comey. I know you hate him. So do I. To use your position as the director of the FBI in the way he did should carry a life sentence. That's how severe I think the punishment should be, because that is such a, it's a position of such power. In that position, you have the ability, you have the authority to really ruin anybody's life you want, and many FBI directors have, are famous for it. When you have that kind of a secret state police agency at your beck and call, you just have to be so incredibly responsible with that kind of power. James Comey, of course, is a communist, and he was not comfortable using it responsibly. He wanted to use it for the revolution. And because that's why he wanted to use it that way, he ended up getting fired, and now he deserves life in prison. And we woke up today and we saw that we got an indictment against James Comey. Oh my gosh, it's like Christmas morning. The COVID people are going down and then Comey's going down. Comey's not going down. I'm sorry. I got excited too when I saw the headline. So immediately I picked up my phone and started doing what I hate, talking to people. And I started asking legal people everywhere I could find them, what is this? In case you're wondering, he got indicted from the seashells. Remember, he put the stupid seashells on the beach that said 8647, which means kill 47, kill Trump. It's kind of what it translates to, obviously. Well, that's what the indictment is about, the seashells. And I didn't talk to a single lawyer friend of mine who did anything but basically scoff at the whole thing. This thing is going nowhere. If James Comey goes to prison one day, it's not going to be for this. Sorry, I know that sucks. On such a great day, I wanted to pile on more good news, but that's not the more good news. That's the bad news. James Comey ain't going down for dumb seashells on the beach and for the fact that he tweets like a teenage girl. That's not happening. Let's do a couple emails before we get to the other good news. Dear Cart Controlling Kelly, I was watching the black and white CCTV of the Secret Service in the hallway when the assailant ran by. I instantly thought of the Keystone Cops running into each other, jumping in the air, falling all over each other, then lying there and crawling on the ground. Inside, while this was going on, Trump was the last one evacuated. They tripped him over a chair. Our president deserves better than this. Way better. Have a blessed day. You are right. The institutional rot inside of the Secret Service has been something that great guys inside have been talking about for years and years and years. What kind of rot? We don't have to dance around it. We could just talk about this in a direct way that will, of course, offend people. We started hiring women and fat people and DEIs and things like that. That's not what the Secret Service should be. The Secret Service should be packed full of Type A men who are big, strong, fast, expert shots, unbelievably competent, aptitude tests, and things like that. But because we don't discriminate, I don't want to discriminate, you have to open up everything to anybody now. And so every tubby woman who comes waddling down the hall, who can't see, and she can't shoot, and she doesn't know squat about squat, well, she deserves an equal opportunity. And now you have a Secret Service agency that can't shoot, that can't protect anyone. They don't even secure a rooftop 148 yards away from the head of the President of the United States of America in Butler, Pennsylvania. I've never done protective detail in my life, and I would have noticed that rooftop immediately if I was assessing the security situation. But when you pack an organization for years and years and years full of diversity, boy, I'll tell you what, things are going to get a lot more equal. No discrimination here at the Secret Service. Yeah, but people are going to die because they're not good enough. The Secret Service is not good enough to protect the President of the United States of America. And I said something the other night, and I got emails about it. So let me say it again, over and over and over again. And I pray to God the right people in Washington are listening. I am worried that someone is going to kill J.D. Vance. I am very worried about J.D. Vance's life, because at some point in here, in the short term, the communists are going to figure out that Trump is in fact almost done, and that J.D. Vance is the likely Republican nominee. And they're going to figure out that if I want these fascist Nazis stopped, that they need to kill J.D. Vance or, God forbid, somebody in his family, and the Secret Service is not good enough to stop it. There, I told you. I do not believe that our vice president or our president or anyone else, I do not believe they have security capable of stopping the threats on the lives of these people. And we are going to have another significant assassination of somebody on the right. They already got Charlie Kirk. They've already shot Trump in the head once, tried to shoot him again on the golf course. They just tried to shoot everybody at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. And they only have to succeed once. J.D. Vance is not near secure enough. He is not safe. And this is a young man, a young husband, beautiful family, young children. J.D. Vance is not safe. I think Donald Trump will probably have to weather, I mean, I don't want to put a time frame on it, another year of assassination attempts. They'll try to kill him again. I don't know how close they'll get, but they'll definitely try to kill him again. And then the communists are going to figure out, wait a minute, he's done, right? He's done. He's not running again. All right. So who, oh, J.D. Vance is the next nominee, probably, possibly. Let's kill him. That's how these animals think. The Secret Service is not ready to stop it. And I'm sorry, but I am worried. I'm very worried. Enough of that. I have more great news. Great news. Next.